T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, let me answer that caller's question. Because the last call that we took said, does Cespedes' injury change your view or change the Mets' view on trading DeGrom and Syndergaard? I don't know what the Mets' view is. I assume the Mets are still going to try to piecemeal things together because they want to get people to come to Citi Field next year. It hasn't initially in the last half hour changed my view where I'm like, hey, you got to trade DeGrom, you got to trade Syndergaard. I guess I would phrase it this way. I'm listening. I'd be listening. More so about Syndergaard than DeGrom, and hopefully Syndergaard can come back and pitch over the final few months. And by the way, not now. Not before July 31st. But during the offseason, I mean, you got to put everything on the table knowing that Cespedes will not play in 2019, because he's not. Now, that's not what the report is. The report is, or what they said today, is 10 to 12 months. And by the way, Eddie's with me, and his report is brought to you by Bay Ridge Honda, one of the dealerships proudly owned by Rob Saban, Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, by CSA Local 830. We work for you. And by Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need. They could say 8 to 10 months, Eddie. We're not seeing him next year. He's not coming back next year, Eddie. Who are we kidding?
No, I think he'll be there. But, you know, listen, I mean, you're looking at, you know, 2-3 months into the season. I mean, I think that's what you have to look at. It's a radical surgery. I mean, it's a difficult surgery. You have to do – I didn't realize you had to – it makes sense. You have to do each heel individually, you know, and that's 2 to 3 months apart. So, you know, if the first one heals slow, you know, what does that mean? Does that lengthen the – it's 8 to 10 months minimum, okay? So – that's putting you a couple of months into the season as it is. Just go 10 months and, you know, you get a half a season out of him next year. I don't know. I don't know. I think he will be back, but I, you know, as to a timeline, I don't know. And it obviously affects the Mets' plans, although they weren't ready to reveal any of that today.
All right, let's go through this, because we sat there on Saturday at Yankee Stadium. We were talking about this, about Dr. Yeah. Cespedes diagnosing himself, and he turned out to be right, because now everybody agrees. What the heck possibly changed from allowing him to go on the field Friday night to making this decision?
You know, all I can say to that, honestly, Ev, is that finally, you know, it either dawned on somebody, or two and two came together, and finally they understood that the you know, the heels were causing a lot of the other problems that were going on, and that you know, they finally had to do the surgery. That was the last resort. He was in a lot of pain on Friday night, apparently more pain than he let on, obviously, and couldn't do it, didn't go anymore. That's why they went this route. And actually, I will say this one, because we were killing him yesterday as to how long this was taking. The doctor who was doing the surgery is also the team doctor for the Green Bay Packers. And apparently what was taking them so long is that they were doing physicals for the Packers for training camp. And that's why, you know, he was the consultant or the second opinion on this, because he's the guy you want to go to for this thing. So that's what was taking so long. I mean, I'll give him that. Because, like I said, I mean, we were killing him yesterday for this thing taking forever, what was stretching out into a 2-3 day thing. But, you know, it's simply simply the fact that he couldn't endure the pain anymore, and that's and this was causing a lot of the other problems, because he had to change his way of running, et cetera. It was affecting the quad, affecting the hip, et cetera, et cetera. So
when they traded for Cespedes, we were all very excited, and it worked out. I mean, the Mets won the freaking pennant in 2015. You can't say it didn't work out. They bring him back for 16, and it sort of works out. He has a very good year when he plays. The Mets win a wild card berth. The last 2 years after he then signs this 4-year contract has been as horrible as you could have ever had a nightmare about. No one could have predicted it would be this bad. What did the Mets know, and when did they know it, about this guy's health? I understand it would have been a PR disaster. Guys like me and Joe would have been crushing the Mets if they let him walk away. I get that. But if they knew he had something serious like this, how do they give him, especially a stingy organization like the Mets, how do they give him 4 years, all that money, and a full no trade?
Yeah, I know. I get, you know, all I can say is the seriousness of it obviously didn't dawn on anybody, including Cespedes himself, I suppose, and how this was related to all the other maladies that were popping up. You know, I don't know who to blame for that. Is there anybody to blame? I don't know. But that's probably where you have to start. You know, this was, they knew when they signed him to the contract, and actually knew when they brought him over from Detroit, that there were, that he has had heel problems or had heel problems from time to time. Nobody knew that it was going to get increasingly worse and get to this point where surgery is a necessity, or, you know, he's done. He said himself that, you know, he's had this since he was in Cuba. Mm. So he had that before he even got over here to play baseball. But it was something very mild, something that came and went, probably something more like whatever the heck it is, yeah, that I can never say. But anyway, that's, you know, that obviously, you know, was when he was a much younger player. So, you know, I don't know. I don't, you say that you should, you know, you should know everything about a player when you sign him, and, you know, there are probably particulars in, you know, in every x-ray or every player or every physical that you do that you don't quite know everything on. And this was something that just got increasingly worse, unfortunately for them, at a very bad time and with a very expensive person.
We're talking to Eddie C. The insurance picking up a part of this contract, will that help them in that they won't just line their pockets, but they'll actually reinvest and try to still win in 2019?
Well, they were asked that. I mean, John Ricco was asked that. He said at this time we're not, you know, we're not prepared to make any comment on that or talk about how much of the insurance covers or how much of the contract is covered by insurance. With David Wright, it's about 75%. I don't know if it's the same with Cespedes. You know, and again, he's going to be out for a while, so I don't know how much money you can recoup from that. They will recoup some. I would assume, and you would think, that, yes, that would be money that you could put back into, you know, procuring players because they desperately need players here. There's no question about that. So, you know, I heard you mention before, too, about DeGrom and Syndergaard. He was also asked about that. I think you have to listen. But at the same time, to me anyway, this just my feelings, that when you have Cespedes go like this and gone for the rest of the year and part of next year as well, too, I think they would be hesitant or more hesitant to, than they are now. And I think they're pretty hesitant now to trade DeGrom or Syndergaard, but in particular DeGrom. So I don't know if that changes the angle a lot. We'll see.
Yeah. I'm not mixed about this. I'm not trading DeGrom or Syndergaard before the deadline.
Okay.
I'm not mixed about that, but during the off season, you have more time to think, you have more time to formulate a plan.
Right. Yeah.
I know a team like the Yankees would be so hot and heavy for an ace now because they're trying to win a championship. But when you do something like that in the offseason, you also open it up to more teams. So don't you think the value is higher during the offseason because of that aspect, that you are now involving potentially more suitors in a monster trade?
Yeah, I think in particular with Syndergaard, especially where you kind of have to reestablish him a bit. The Mets keep saying that, you know, everybody knows what he is. I'm sorry, you know, he's made 20 starts here in since the beginning of last year. So I don't think you know what he is at this point in time. You know what he can be because you've seen that before. But DeGrom, I think in particular, I think because of the market that's out there and the desperation which may come as you get closer to the deadline, I do think that this is probably the time that you can trade him and get the most. I still feel that way. If you're not going to trade him now, I don't think it's wise to trade him at all. That's just my feeling.
Interesting. I just can't live with that. And you know what? Here's the other thing. John Ricco sits there at this point. I don't trust him. I don't trust Omar. I don't trust Jeff Wilpon. I don't trust any of them to go out and make a deal and get back this incredible return that you need to get if you're trading Jacob DeGrom.
Well, I don't disagree with you. You can talk about levels of trust or whatever, but the point is that it's been coming from the front office as well that they're going to have a general manager search, and it's probably unlikely that any of these three are going to be the general manager next year. So are you going to entrust and take your best player and make a deal at this point in time with the people that are here if they're not going to be here next year? So I just don't see that being a viable way of operating. Sorry.
Eddie. Eddie, keep your head up. I know this is not an easy
job.
I'll
try that.
All
right,
Eddie.
See you later.
Thank you, Eddie. Eddie Coleman has got to watch the Mets. He has to cover this just mess of a franchise.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.